Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin. I'm with Greg Pickle, expert on everything Penn State football and recruiting. And we are going to test that knowledge with your questions in our Ask Greg segment. And remember, at the end, Greg is going to pick out the best question, and you will get a very sharp KSN polo shirt. Right, Greg?
That's right.
All right. Thank you for that confirmation. All right, let's see what we have here for the first question. This comes from Bill in Philadelphia. He says, hey, Greg, I saw that Nick, and I'll blow his last name, Elksness?
Yes.
From Florida. That's, I think, is important. I added that. But he took a visit to Florida this weekend. Is there any word whether his commitment is in question or if Franklin's stance on visits has changed?
I mean, I would look at it like this. I don't think his opinion on visits has changed, but I do think that some things are treated a little bit differently. When you're talking about a kid who is probably going to end up as a top 100 player in the class, I don't have the rankings in front of me, but I know he's among some of the best tight ends in this class. I mean, I just don't think you're going to kick a kid from Florida who's in a recruiting area that you want to get more into. So he's 329 nationally right now. So perhaps he won't quite climb into the top 100 players, but it's 6'6", 220. You know, he has obviously a talent base and a frame that people want to work with. So we'll see. But at any rate, I just look at this as I don't think the visit policy has changed. I just think you have to be careful sometimes about enforcing that. And it can lead you into a sticky situation when you enforce it on one guy and not another guy. But at the end of the day, I haven't said that in a while. The end of the day. There we go. I think that Penn State will have to always worry about Florida, maybe even Florida State, because Nick Elksness is, exposed to both programs a lot, and he doesn't, he just can't make it up to Penn State a lot. So, gut reaction probably would be a bit of a surprise if he signs with Penn State when all is said and done.
Well, you also have to realize when you broaden your recruiting base, what you're also doing is you're gambling that kid will stick with the commitment. I believe it's important to recruit in Florida, but you also have to remember any time a recruit is from that far away, they're always in danger of going back to the hometown team. All right, let's go with Andy from Falls Church in Virginia. Since Franklin is struggling to get down to 85 scholarships, it seems like he won't be able to take any transfers this year. Since so many kids are in the portal these days, should coaches try to stay under the 85 cap every year so they'll always have room for a few kids from the portal?
Yeah, I love this question, but I don't think so. And here's why. You just don't. So Penn State probably thought that it would get something more out of Weston Carr, one of its transfer portal entries, than it did at receiver in 2020. And I think it also expected George Campbell to come in and make an impact, and then he didn't even end up the former Florida State receiver didn't even make it to campus. So they're 0-2 there. They get one win column entry with Jordan Stout, the tremendous kickoff specialist and kicker from Virginia Tech. But I don't think you want to save space, because I don't think you can rely on A, that you'll get the top targets you want, and B, that there will be even enough top targets in there to go after year to year.
And also with the transfer portal, I think that there's more kids who enter the portal who end up never coming out of the portal.
Correct, yeah.
The one position that we've seen the portal have such a big effect is at quarterback.
Right.
And if you're in need of a quarterback, perhaps that's a spot that you leave open. But anyway, all right, let's move on. We have, here we go. Nick from Berwick, my hometown. I got to meet Nick, by the way, a week or two ago. Nice guy. He's going to become a regular, I believe, asking questions. Do you think that if we're going to make the playoffs, I like how he says we, the 2020 season is the best chance? He feels that there's a lot more starters coming back this year, but not the following year. In addition to that, Tyler Bowen and Juwan Sider are up and coming stars, and who knows how long they will be able to keep them. So is 2020 the year that they need to make their breakthrough, Greg?
I don't like getting into this kind of make or break, it's now or bust conversation, and Penn State basketball is the big reason for that, because we heard year after year after year after year after year after year that next year is going to be the year that Penn State makes it back to the tournament. Now, of course, you know, it appears that 2020 is that year, unless things go completely off the rails here over the last couple of weeks, that Penn State will be in the tournament. And so, you know, congratulations to them. Not really the point of the question, but to get back to the idea, I just don't like looking at it that way, because you never know when an injury is going to pop up that you're not expecting, when players that you thought were going to fit into a new system don't. So I don't want to call this one make or break, but it certainly feels, with the way the schedule works out, you know, it feels like a good chance to earn some good resume wins at Virginia Tech early, at Michigan later in the year. You get Michigan State and Ohio State at home, so I think that helps. I think any year that you get Ohio State at home is going to have to be the year that you try and make your run, because it's just been proven how difficult it is to win at Ohio Stadium in Columbus. But yeah, I mean, I certainly think this is one of those years, but I wouldn't call this one a make or break, you know, just because of that, you know, just because it's 2020 and we feel like doing it.
I'm with you. There seems to be a new consistency to Penn State year to year. And I think when they have that big year, the breakthrough year, it's not going to be because everything just came together. I think it's just going to happen to be one of those years where they're able to get a win against Ohio State,
right?
Which is essentially what you have to do to win your division, to win the conference, which I think is what they need. All right, Milt from Knox, PA says, Stubblefield talked about attending a professional development conference at Penn State under Franklin. Franklin's talked about coaches developing professionally. He wonders if there might be something more to these conferences, more than altruistic, as in helping identify talent should they need to suddenly fill a coaching vacancy.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, I think Taylor Stubblefield's a perfectly an exact example of that. And, you know, the way I look at it is, what those opportunities are is a chance for guys who are at lower-level programs, and they happen all over the country, but to come in and sort of just get a lay of the land and see how the big dogs do it, what kind of things that the top teams are doing that can be taken back to the other schools, but then also to get that coach's name in front of some of the bigger name coaches. And so maybe a coordinator leaves that big school and he's looking for a position coach at his new school. Well, he can think back to that time he met that pretty sharp candidate from a school that at a lower level. Maybe it's a head coach who's going to need to fill his job at his current school one day, as we saw with Stubblefield. And there certainly was a component to the fact that they had met each other previously. So, yeah, those are, you know, goodwill kind of things to get coaches from lower level programs on your campus to check things out. But, yeah, they also certainly certainly play a role in finding talent down the road as well.
All right. Let's go back to Bill in Philadelphia again. Here's this. Hi, Greg. Love the show. As we look towards 2021 class, I have a two-part question. There doesn't seem to be as much excitement around the program. Is Franklin's recruiting pitch becoming stale? Also, part two, I know Penn State's in the mix for a couple five-star offensive linemen, but are there any realistic high-skill position players that are on the same level?
I don't think that the message is becoming stale. They just had a really good group of kids on campus a couple weekends ago before the dead period started for junior day events, and they obviously are maybe a little bit behind some other big name programs in terms of getting commitments at this point of the class of 2021. But Jim, so many kids are now waiting to decide until after they take official visits in the spring and summer that I think you have to be a little bit cautious about getting concerned over commitment numbers in February when there's no visit opportunities, there's not anything at this point. And guys know that, why should I commit early unless I really know I want to go to that school? Because now I can go check out a bunch of them. And, you know, I can go check out a bunch of schools during the official visit, have them pay for it before my senior year begins. Then I can decide in the summer before my last year of high school begins. So I don't think it's getting stale. I just think it's a product of the calendar.
I think there's also this tendency right now that I believe there's been a reaction, perhaps even overreaction, to this past year losing Fleming, losing Bressy, and there were a couple other five stars in the region, and I believe Penn State fans were hoping to get all of them. And because that didn't happen, I believe there's a bit of an overreaction to that. All right, here we go. David in Lancaster says, while losing a player like Daniel Joseph to the transfer portal hurts depth, doesn't it also provide some reassurance that some of the young players are quite good? Joseph's a solid player, and he apparently believes it's unlikely for him to beat out the younger players.
Right. I mean, yeah, I've had a really hard time kind of thinking about all that, how all that stuff kind of plays into it over the last couple of weeks with Ricky Slade and Justin Shorter going into the portal. It's good that your younger players are outperforming your veteran players, but at the same time, there was also a point when we thought those veteran guys were the next great ones when they were recruits, and it didn't work out. So I guess it's more of a reminder than anything else that you can assume or think that these kids are big name players and they're going to come in and start right away, and there are just no guarantees in college football. And so when it comes to the receiver position group, I guess is what he's getting at there. I mean, you got to have somebody step up there. It doesn't have to be a veteran, doesn't have to be a young guy. To me, I think you have the best shot of finding another electric player like a KJ Hamler with a young guy, just because I'd rather look at the unknown as opposed to what we know about Daniel George, which is that he has the skills to
He mentioned Joseph transferring, so on the defensive line.
So, but it
carries through to any of the positions.
Right. So, I mean, with that being – so with Joseph on the defensive line, kind of a similar thing with George, honestly, except George didn't transfer. But, I mean, you can really connect the two in the sense that maybe Joseph thinks that there's younger guys coming along like Adisa Isaac, like Jason Owe, that are going to take his spot. We've talked about that already today. And maybe he just thinks that, you know, look at what – I think a lot of these guys are going to start to look, Jim, at what Brandon Polk did at James Madison. He had a huge year there. I believe he ended up on an All-American team at the FCS level. And I think a lot of guys might look at that and say, you know, he didn't play all that much at Penn State, but he played some. But now he went down there and really shined. So – some of it will have to do, I'm sure, with younger guys outperforming vets, but other times I think it'll just have to do with the fact that they think they can get on the field quicker and have more success at a lower level.
What you also have to look at is a simple math equation here. If there's 85 players on scholarship, that's approximately four deep.
Right.
And young players are coming in expecting to play. There's going to be, you know, 25% of the scholarship players who are fourth string at best.
Right.
And with the portal available.
Right. Especially because a lot of these guys, some, but a lot of them have never really hit adversity or anything else. So.
All right. We need a winner. Who is it going to be?
It's going to be Andy from Falls Church, Virginia.
Good choice. Andy will be getting in touch with you, and a KSN Polo will be on the way. That's it for quarter number three. Guess what's coming next?
Grind my gears.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.